tomorrow is Bodhidharma Day. We had special ceremony this evening, and tomorrow also we will have special ceremony for him. As you know, he is the 28th period from Buddha. Counting Buddha is from first. And he is the 28th period. I should like to introduce how he became a successor of Anyatara. Anyatara Sanja, the 27th patriarch, asked Bodhidharma. There are many things. The things here mean various things we see, stone, mountains, rivers, ocean. Everything we see and everything we think about, it includes various ideas we have. Those are things. And what will be the thing which has no form, formless being? What will be the formless thing? The Bodhidharma said, Tukiyusa is rather difficult. I must explain about it. But it is a kind of technical term. Tukiyusa. Tuki is no non-arising. Yusa is formless. So it means that before things happen, how no one knows how things happen and how we started to think about things. No one knows. Before nothing arrives, that stage is Kimuto. That was his answer. But my interpretation is still enough. And 27th Patriarch asks him, what is then the most great thing? The Bodhi Dharma asks, the Dhamma nature is the most great thing. That is, testament asks, the 27th Patriarch. It is rather difficult to make it right. It is not something to talk about, actually, or to understand. But take a moment. I have to give you some suggestions. Even though I cannot explain it, as much as possible, I have to explain. Why is it necessary to have this kind of understanding of the situation where nothing happens here? Nothing happens. It is almost maybe impossible to, you know, think about. We don't know when this earth, even this earth, started actually. When the sun started, or the various stars started, no one knows exactly the same, but there must be, there are various scientists, there are various things that is not correct. No one knows correctly how this earth happened, how everything happened. But before it happens, things happen. But it is possible, you know, for us to think about the space, even though we don't know exactly how, but there must be some way things happen. And if so, there must be some stage where nothing happens. Oriental people start to think about things from this one big being before everything happens. It is, in other words, one. We, you know, our understanding is based on the idea of one. One, which is, you know, something, something. Our thinking mind starts based on the idea of one. And your, you know, thinking mind starts with many explanations of many experiences and many forms, and accumulation of those many things is some big deal. like universe. But our world thinking is opposite. We start from nothing, nothingness, or emptiness, or one. One big being from which things happen. So for you, everything is some concrete entity, existence. But for us, everything is at least a part of one big being. The difference is, for us, nothing is, you know, existent. It is just a part of this being. That is Buddhist understanding of things. Do you understand the difference? We infer various ideas from one, and you you accumulate various experiences and scientific facts, and you know, try to understand one big being, that is, you know, this universe. That is the difference. And so Bodhidharma, here, Bodhidharma's answer is pointing at just one being, which is origin of various existence. And this is also some big, great, great being. You cannot compare that great, great being to anything else. That great being includes everything, and it is origin of everything. Everything starts from that great being, comes out from that great being. So nothing is greater than that. That is the Bodhidharma's answer. And actually, how we are able to have the approach to it, it doesn't make sense, you know, even though I talk about this way, you know, it doesn't make any sense to you and to me too. Each existence, which you can see. the things we see. As long as our main interest is something you can see, it doesn't make much sense to talk about something which you cannot understand or which you cannot see. How this universe started, or how is it possible to make a universe? Even if it is not universe, if I explain how a human being can be built up by adding up many elements, then you will be interested in what I am talking about. But you talk about something which you cannot experience, which you cannot think about, does it make much sense for us? But here we have dead anger in our understanding about things. And that is why we practice Dzogchen, to have direct approach to this reality, which is beyond our thinking. And when you have approached to this great being, that is enlightenment. And then actually, every existence makes sense, even though it is not constant. It is not, everything do not have any constant form or color. It's that it makes sense. If each being comes first, then naturally you will stick to it. And the thing you see is each independent being. So it is difficult to understand the relationship between one thing to the other. But if we understand each being is related to or part of a big being, then it is easier to understand the relationship between things, each existence, and easier to accept the teaching of non-duality and teaching of everything changing. Everything is a part of this being. And that this being is not dead. It is always by itself, automatically, changing or going or moving. So we are a part of it. So if this being is always changing and moving, then we should should move, change in the realm of this being. So it is easier to accept how we, the way how we exist. It is easier to accept things as it is. If you understand, each being is independent, then it is very difficult to understand why we must have good relationship with each other. If possible, you want to be independent. If possible, you want to cut off various relationships from other beings. That is quite natural tendency. The understanding of each being, a part of this being, and understanding of each being God's part, and that accumulation of various beings is a great thing. Is two ways of thinking mind. Thinking mind goes two ways. It is possible to think both ways. Mostly, oriental people think the opposite way you think. For us, this is completely different, I started to talk about something about our practice now. Right now, I explained the way of thinking mind goes. Your way of thinking is really inadequate to accept Buddhist way of thinking, actually. And to understand why you practice Zazen, it is rather inadequate. And even though we put emphasis on something, some big deal, which goes fast, even so, it is inadequate to understand why we must practice Zazen. It makes sense, it doesn't make sense, but you may understand why we should have group practice, or why we should have good relationships between teacher and disciple, and why it is necessary to have transition. It is easier to understand, but not complete, because it is again a kind of way of thinking. nature of our thinking mind is still limited, variety. And to understand, to make reality easier to understand, that is the nature of thinking mind. So, what you think about is not real. It is a shadow of reality. So how we check the shadow is through dhyana practice. In other words, when you do not depend on thinking mind, then you have real understanding about things, about yourself, and about things around you. That is present practice. So, when we talk about Buddhism, there are two ways of, two ways. One is, maybe three ways. It is by thinking mind, first of all. The next thing is to talk about something, goes before thinking mind happens. And the third one is to talk about our practice. How is it possible to have approach to the reality? There are three ways. And we put best emphasis on practice rather than thinking mind. And you can understand exactly the reason. This is outline of this is how you how you can able to have approach to the reality. So, some other reason, reality can be a god or a deity. But for us, we have no special deity to worship. No idea of God, independent God, which controls every being. Each being reality is how things exist, how things are going, is understanding of God for us. What is God? Maybe if I ask you what is God, maybe if you are Buddhist and because you are you are not oriental people, maybe everything is God. Accumulation of everything. If you add up everything, that is God. You may answer in that way. If I ask some Chinese or Indian or Japanese, they may say, God is something which exists before each being exists. That is God. Still you ask me, what is God? You yourself is God. But only when you practice Dhamma, you are God. And when you extend your understanding of you to everyday life, you are God. You may understand, and you may answer in that way. So, we put great emphasis on the practice, because thinking mind does not make much sense. Okay. I stop. To talk about this kind of even though I talk about over and over, it may be the same thing. If you have faith, you can hear it again. It is same thing. And so that is why I want you to ask me questions. Then it may be easier to understand what I mean.
Manifestation,
manifestation of one deep burden. Many, we say, but actually it is one. It looks like many. Looks like many, actually, but it is one. And they are one.
But with memory, at any given moment, they totally, are they equal to the one? Isn't there more that is still potential than the one that is not manifest?
More potential.
At any given moment,
at some moment, one, me, has this potential, because it is not possible to separate me from many beings. Rest of the being.
What about those that are manifest?
It includes which was manifested and which will be manifested. all of one is created, you know, since this day and this day, time, time and space, time. One is created everything. That is right understanding. In that way we exist, each being exists. So it is not accumulation of many things. You know, if you pick up something, this includes everything. Before, you know, I don't know, there's no risk. You know, you cannot figure out how big it is. It looks like small, it looks like a cup, only a cup, you may say. Actually, it includes many things which exist in this moment, and which existed before, and which will exist in the future. That is true, isn't it? So thinking mind goes, when you know, you have no trouble in your thinking mind, it goes in one moment from various directions. And 54 years ago. There is no trouble to understand in that way. You are thinking of God's favor, blessings, in one moment, and you say so. And it includes Buddha, and even before Buddha. If you think, you know, many times, then, you know, each time you think, you will create it. So time goes. Usually, you think time is. Time go this way, from past to future. But it is not so. From present to past. You are center of time and space. So time goes this way, past to future. That is real, more real. If you cannot think in that way, why? Because you fix some idea of time or space, which actually doesn't exist. It is convenient, for convenience sake. You say time and space, but it is just idea and just way of thinking. It doesn't exist, but it will help your understanding. That's all. So you shouldn't stick to the idea of time and space. That is enlightened mind. Okay?
How would you define memory?
Memory. When you think about it, that is memory. So you include the memory. Memory, you think memory something which existed long, long time ago. So if you stick to the idea of time, you know, what you have in your mind about past is something which doesn't exist, but something you can keep it in memory. That is memory, isn't it?
What about granular memory,
like the memory of the seed? What is the seed? That is, that is not true. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, that is, you know, not Buddhist way of thinking. We have no self. Our body, according to you, your science, our bodies are creating a self. That doesn't exist, actually. More than, you know, physically, they may not accept that kind of idea. It is a kind of hypothesis, not actual being. Tentatively, you can call it fair, but no such thing exists. That is maybe difficult for you to accept.
That's what physicists say.
Yeah, that is.
That's what they're saying.
Nowadays that is what they say. More and more, you know, if you think more and more and more, nothing. Just nature, that is for sure. He said, what is the greatest being? And he answered, Dhamma nature. Dhamma nature, which covers all this. It can be a nature of various phenomena of being. Yeah.
And what is this third stage then that you talk about us addressing through our practice?
The third one, third, not stage, but third way, you know.
What I'm curious about is this what the Oriental call the pure land?
Pure land, that is more like, you know, that is so-called as Buddha land. Buddha land is being something in which everything exists in harmony. And we are a part of we are ornament of the Buddha. Nothing exists. Nothing, you know. You think something exists. Yes, it exists. But not always in that way. Changing moment after moment. That is Dhamma nature. It's called on and on and on. Yeah. Something of service is no, not something, but standard. That's right. I cannot say something, you know. If I say so, it is already some entity. It doesn't exist. But it is actually, you know, if we talk about this way, and this is very funny discussion, it doesn't make sense at all. So better to invite some teachers. But if you make such a question to him, he may do that. Hi. That is, you know, is a difference. Therefore, no faith, you know. There is no need to have practice, no need to think about, no need to make effort. You know. Whether you are a cat or rabbit, it doesn't matter. You may say, you can say so, but actually, how about you? But no. Our practice starts from that point. Actual problem we have. When we talk about it, there is no problem. But when no one gives you any problem. But still, we have problems. Why? Because we cannot accept the reality as it is. We don't know why. So, something, some delusion. That is, we say, because of ignorance. If we know the reality as it is, no problem, as we say. But we cannot accept the reality as it is, unfortunately. But, you know, that you cannot accept as it is important. Because of it, human being exists. Because human being doesn't care anything about ourselves. Human being does not exist. Because of our delusion, you know, deluded mind, or attachment, or ignorance, we exist in that way. So you can arise to be self. But it is again because we discuss something in some light, in some special standpoint. So ignorance exists. So actually, ignorance itself is a part of Buddha nature. So if we, you know, enlighten of ignorance, we are Buddha. If we are not enlightened of ignorance, we are ignorant. We are ignorant. If you enlighten, you exist as a human being in one way. On the other hand, you exist as a one of the many beings. Same thing, you know. We are, you know, we, each being has same body in one way. But each one has different function and different form. Where it goes. But even though each being is different, but it is same. Same being. So ignorant mind, enlightened mind. If you enlighten all the ignorance, you are enlightened. If you are ignorant about enlightenment, you are ignorant. So if you really understand how we exist, it includes, you know, morality or practice or many you know, human culture. It includes not as a special culture only, but also understanding of human beings as one of the beings, as many beings. That is the right understanding of real human beings. But if your understanding is limited understanding, or a human-centered understanding, if a human culture is a human-centered culture only, it doesn't make sense. We will be human culture more and more separated from the nature. That is what is happening to us now, because we, our way of thinking, our culture is too much human-centered culture. Our mind doesn't go beyond human culture. Incarnation? Yeah, that is, it has been Buddhist belief. And no one can deny it. It is difficult to say. It doesn't exist. It's very difficult to say. It does exist, really. But you can, if you want to deny something, it is very difficult. It is easy to say, I am not enlightened. This is easy. Very difficult to say, I have no easy desire. I have no such easy desire as you have. Can you clearly declare in that way? You know. Maybe, you know, this idea is a thought or the incarnation. Someone may say it is superstition. It is easy. It is not so easy to say that it's superstition. You have to prove everything from every angle if you want to say that is the incarnation does not exist. It is almost impossible to deny something, some idea which we have. So maybe it is better not. And actually, some of you may say that is superstition. Some of you may say so. But he himself, you know, what exactly, what he does actually is based on that kind of idea of the incarnation. That is how things are, how human nature is going. I may die tomorrow, you know, but until I die, I think I will be tomorrow too. When I go to bed, I think I'm quite sure that I can get up tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. I'm quite sure. But you cannot be so sure. You see, I believe in my future life, always.